Everybody pray aloud in a concert of prayer and pray responsibly at the right points. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just down the road from us. Lord, people are experiencing put back up, bring the children home. I told you to put that back up. Huh? On BC anymore? Okay, well, I need another article put up in light of this, all of this is happening. Y'all hear me? It's time to bring the children home. This is just ridiculous. Holy Father God, thank you for reminding me of that. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. For even though this world is changing more and more, wicked, Lord, you're still the same. You are still good, you're still holy, and you're not surprised or shocked at anything, and neither should we be as Christians if we have you in our lives. But Lord, we do pray for the hundreds of families impacted by this terrible demonic tragedy. And there's a devil loose in front of that. Put that in front of that. For there is a devil loose seeking and is destroying the lives not only of adults but of young children. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would heal these families and comfort these families as only you can. And Holy Father God, I thank you for prayer, and I thank you that prayer is hard. Everything of value is hard. And at the same time, simple and physically easy. But I feel the battle against prayer every time I pray. And I thank you, Lord, for granting me your grace and granting grace to millions of others who persevered in prayer with all perseverance. And I thank you for the millions of answers to prayers that you have granted, sometimes right in the nick of time. And Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would have mercy and grace upon us. And where we have sinned, where we have done evil in your sight, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts. By your grace, forgive those, Lord, who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody pray. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us throughout this morning, this afternoon, this evening, this Friday, to accomplish the things that you want us to accomplish, the things that you want us to do. And Lord, I thank you for how you're leading and how you're directing already. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd order our steps and indeed direct our ways throughout this day. And Lord, lead, God, and direct the people down there near Houston regarding this tragic shooting. And Lord, help them to put one step, one foot in front of the other. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for the joy of speaking with two of my college graduating children this morning via phone, and what a wonderful time of fellowship we have had together, and I'm so proud of them as they are going up the ladder higher in higher education. And we thank God for all graduates. And in my family and in the families across the country, for it is a great accomplishment. And we pray that you bless their graduating weekend, that it would be safe and blessed. And Lord, we pray that you, Holy Father God, would cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness and pride, bad attitudes and bad spirits out of your people, those who claim to be your people, and that they would not hinder your gospel from going forward or hinder your work. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. But on this Friday and on this upcoming Saturday and Sunday and throughout these next 6 or 7 days where we are reaching major milestones in ministry, come this Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Thank you for bringing us through. We know the devil is going to attack us, and we know that the devil is going to issue and push that demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage against us. Lord, today and throughout this week, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, and we're not ignorant of the fact that the devil is a liar. And the old, as the old saints used to say, at least the old black saints used to say, the devil is a lie. He is a lie. Not only is he a liar, but he is a lie. And he has his cohorts who lie just like him. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning that you would bless and anoint and use this devotional, and grant us fresh anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do it in. And Lord, we pray for genuine revival, but help us not to just pray for revival. Help us to be about revival in the sense that, Lord, we obey your holy word and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would heal us, those of us who are sick, those who are so-called disabled. Lord, we pray that you would heal each person. Heal us spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and renew us in every way. But help us at the same time to do our part. Help us to stop eating junk and eating too much. Help us to stop being gluttons. And Holy Father God, and help us to sleep right and exercise right. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cast all of our cares upon you today, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace and joy. Again, I pray for my children and all other children, Lord, who belong to Christian parents. And we pray for those who are not born-again Christians. Forgive us of our sins as Christians for not reaching out to them, for the blood will drip from our fingers in time to come if we don't tell others about you. And we pray that you would save them and save their parents. We pray for the children who are saved to trust in you in a very real sense, to love you back, to fear you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. We pray for over 3 million souls to be saved through this ministry alone, millions more through other ministries and churches. We pray, Lord, for over 3 million Christians to be revived. We pray for over $3 million to come in. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the graduates. And Lord, I thank you for blessing me with 4 graduates of college now. And we only have 3 more to go. And I do pray that everybody, those who have graduated, would help these last 3 to graduate as well. And I pray that they will work just as hard. These last 3 will work just as hard, if not harder, than the others. And Lord, we pray that you would have all of that to come to pass. And what a blessing it would be to have all 7 children graduated from college. And Lord, we pray that they would, as I've always told them, use their education for your glory, praise, and honor, and to do something with it, and to apply it to their lives. And more importantly, to apply your holy word to their lives. For that is the true education. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Pray out. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the White House Family Devotions. Number 362. We're late, but God is great. And we thank you for bearing with us and being patient with us as we are, when you have a growing family in every sense of the word, as I do, all kinds of things are happening. And sometimes it's a 2 steps forward, 1 step back situation going on, and all parents who have completely raised their children know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to help this one, you got to help that one, and then once they get established, you got to encourage them to help the others, and then you got to help the one that's always got one black sheep in the family, if you will, who take a longer time to do things than others. You got to work with that one. And get them through, help get them through. And so we have all of that going on steroids. Be that as it may, join me in singing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above. of ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham, who is now home with the Lord, said, may we store up the truths of God's Word in our hearts as much as possible, so that we are prepared for whatever suffering we are called upon to endure. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. That goes along with a little poem prayer that I did some time ago that I'm in the process of changing or adding to. Dr. Billy Graham said, may we store up the truths of God's Word in our hearts as much as possible, so that we are prepared for whatever suffering we are called upon to endure. Amen, somebody. Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And millions of folks, by the way, when they pray that, they really mean it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the family verses, we're going to move on to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And the Bible reads, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. As we talked about on yesterday, God does not want us to run from the devil, but to stand against the devil, to hold our ground by resisting the devil, that he flee from us, according to James in the Word of God. Dr. Stephen J. Cole writes in his commentary on this passage, to stand firm against the enemy, gird yourself with the belt of truth. For the Roman soldier, the girdle or belt was a leather apron-like piece that extended down to the thighs, protecting the lower abdomen and genital areas. The soldier tucked his robe or tunic into it so that he could move quickly and without encumbrance in the battle. The loins were often a metaphor for strength. Girding oneself has the idea of displaying power and courage and strength. The main idea of a soldier girding his loins was that he was ready for vigorous action. He was ready to fight. Paul's point in telling us to gird our loins with truth is that we cannot be ready to fight the enemy if we are not strong and ready with God's truth, the Word of God. And commentators line up on both sides of the question of whether truth here refers to God's truth as revealed in His Word, or the truthfulness and integrity of the believer. And the commentator and I will say, I believe that it refers to both. We have people who read the Bible and even believe the Bible, but they're liars. I know of a person who reads the Bible all the time, but you would never know it because the person is a liar. The person cannot be depended upon to tell the truth. And so it's both and, not either or. It is impossible for you to be successful against the devil in this sin-cursed world. And you got a Bible in your hand that you read, but the words that come out of your mouth are nothing but lies. See, the Bible talks about how the devil is the father of lies, and you're doing your father's bidding, evidently, when every word comes out of your mouth is a lie, as one lady said recently, a bald-faced lie. People do not realize, obviously, in our society, how destructive lying is. Let me tell you something. Let me let you in on a little secret. Lying is way more destructive than adultery. Lying is way more destructive than fornication. Lying is way more destructive than stealing or any other sin except for pride. Because oftentimes many people lie because of pride. They don't want people to think of them in a certain way. And it's so sad when people already think that way about you anyway. And no matter what you do, if you are a liar, you will be seen as a liar. Your face is just like a comedian. The good comedians, when you look at their face, you can tell they're funny. You can start laughing already because their face is funny. And not that it's made funny, they're born to be comedians. And you can look at them and you can tell. It's the same thing with a liar. You can tell a person is a liar by looking at their face. Their face lies. People don't realize that a whole lot of things go off in your body when you lie. I believe that people die because they lie. They die early. They get diseases. They don't even know where these diseases come from because they have told so many lies that they get sick in the body. Nothing will destroy your life. Nothing will, outside of pride, nothing will destroy your life. Nothing will destroy your relationships in your marriage and in your family like lying. Because the sad thing about lying is once you're casted as a liar, you will always be a liar to people. So you can't have the Bible in one hand and claiming that it is your sword, which is the truth. The Word of God is true. And then on the other hand, you're lying all day long. You can't answer a question straight because you got to think of a lie. And you lie so much that you believe the lies yourself. So it's both and. As the commentator said, I believe that it refers to both, and it is not necessary to separate them. I do, on the other hand, separate them. The Word of God is the Word of God. And a man or a woman telling the truth is a man or a woman telling the truth. It's two separate things. And then he goes on to say the armor is a metaphor for Jesus Christ, he believes. He is the truth and he is our righteousness. If we put on Christ as the truth, then surely we will live as truthful people because Christ is living through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we put on Christ as our righteousness, it is inconceivable that we would live in sin. And the church said, Amen. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we thank you so much for the protection that you have provided for us. Help us to take heed to it and help us to take advantage of it. And help us to be people who not only hold the truth but tell the truth. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that and for your glory, praise, and honor, and for our relationship's sake. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional passage for today for Bible reading the truth, is Psalm 141, verses 5 through 10. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Every Christian knows that chastisement and rebuke is a blessing, is not a cursing. It's not a curse. Corporal punishment for children is a blessing, is not a curse. It's a blessing from God. It is absolutely necessary. Rebuking people and punishing people for doing evil is necessary. It is a good thing. It comes from God. It is God loving us and wise people. Adults and children take heed to it and they thank God for it. Amen. Somebody who is wise up in here. Verse 6. In fact, chastisement and rebuke is the proof of God's love. God says, because I reprove you and I rebuke you and I chastise you, I do it because I love you. If you were not my child, I wouldn't be bothered with you in that way. I don't care what my neighbor's children do, as long as they don't impact me. I love everybody, but I'm not responsible for those children. Their parents are. And so I don't love them in the sense that I'm going to snatch them up and whip them for doing something evil that I might see them doing. It's none of my business. That's between them and God and their parents. I don't love them like I love my own children. I do love them, but I love my children in a special way. And I'm not going to get up in their son's face and post up and eyeball him, eyeball to eyeball, and make him look at me and say, look here, this is not going to continue. You need to stop this right now or you're going to be in a world of trouble. That's between him and his Father, and him and his God. And so God does not chastise the devil's children. And the devil is a father too. He's a father of liars, because he is the father of lies. Isn't that something to be called the father of lies? My soul. I mean, you are a big time liar to be the father of lies. I mean, you're the beginning of lies. Okay? So, chastisement and rebuke and reproving and admonishment is a gift from God, just like the other blessings he has bestowed upon us, and is the proof of his love for us. I remember one time, a long time ago, when God chastised me, I had the sense to do what my daughter Danita did when, in her letters, when she was a little girl. I thank God for loving me so much that he would not allow me to stay in the old sinful way that I was in. My daughter Danita and the other children, some of the other children had the sense when they got chastised and rebuked for doing wrong and evil, she wrote me letters thanking me for chastisement, thanking me for whipping us. That's what she was saying. Yeah, she had enough sense as a child. She had a pure heart. And even though I had one or two children who did not respond in that way, they had a different mentality and a different attitude after they got chastised. So just understand that. Allow me to read that verse in your hearing again. Let the righteous smite me, light Negro. It shall be a kindness. It's a kindness to you when somebody gets on your case about the evil you're doing, the stupid stuff you're doing. It's a kindness because he can save you thousands of hours of trouble for the rest of your life by that smack upside your head or that rod on your behind parts. As we used to say back in the day in James City and Bryce's Creek, behind parts. I have an old friend. We used to call her Sandy. She would call somebody and say, "Get your behind parts over here." And let him reprove me, rebuke me, shall be an excellent oil. That's an expensive oil. Which shall not break my head. It's not going to break you. It's not going to kill you. See, a loving parent is not going to kill you. You may think he's going to kill you. They're not going to kill you. That's not the aim. That's not the purpose. God does not want to kill us. But we may think, "Oh my Lord, Lord, you're killing me." No, he's not killing you, because if he wanted to kill you, he can kill you. Your head is not going to be broken. Just take the punishment and change. Repent. Be different. And foolish people, foolish adults, foolish children, these people act foolishly, who bow up, rebel, become vindictive, got a bad attitude, mad as the devil when they are rebuked and that they are when they are chastised and they are called on the carpet for something. A great newscaster, Tom Brokaw, a great comedian, Bill Cosby. They're called on the carpet about some evil they did some time back, and they become strangely indignant, like they could not have possibly done this. This is ridiculous. It's nothing but pride. Be like George H.W. Bush, who said, I'm capable of doing it, and I probably did it, and I did it, and I apologize. Amen, somebody. Stop acting like you are these people who are incapable of doing stuff. Oh, I'm just, how dare you question me? How dare you think of me that way? Shut up, man, and accept your rebuke. Don't let C.K. Louis C.K. You know, he's a comedian with a crazy name like that. Louis C.K., that's ridiculous. Don't let Louis C.K. and that senator from Minnesota, forget his name, Paul what? Minnesota senator? Somebody help me. Say it again?
Al Franken.
Al Franken, a comedian. He's another guy. You look at him, you know he's... I've never taken him seriously as a senator. I got to look at him. He seems like he want to crack a joke every minute. Even when he's serious. But anyway, don't let people like that outclass you. Just admit you are capable of doing that. I'm sure I did it. I may not agree with everything, but I'm sure I did it, and I apologize. Or be just like George H.W. Bush and just admit you did it and be through with it. And we still, watch this, we still respect him. Nobody's talking about taking down his highway sign and nothing like that. Here you are losing statues, you losing awards and losing everything because you want to try to fight something that you know you did. You liar. Calm down on all of that mess. It's nothing but pride. Accept your rebuke. See it as a kindness. Be glad that you can admit that you are just as evil as other people and you did some things you should not have done. Stop acting like you're an angel. You've never done anything. You liar. You hypocrite. You phony. Get out of here. Just admit you did it and go on. You could have avoided all this right here. Losing every reward you've ever gotten. Root it in pride. Count it as an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. It may bow your head, but there's a difference between breaking and bowing. For yet my prayer, the Bible says, also shall be in their calamities. When their calamities coming, by the way, you got calamities coming. Don't have your calamities to be like these folk that I just mentioned. And when calamities come like they came today in down near Houston, Texas, so far eight children are dead. Shot by one of their classmates. There's a devil loose, people. Pray for those people. Don't become smug, you homeschoolers. We're homeschoolers too. We're not mad at you. See, that's why I brought my children home. I am so happy that my children. Don't be that way. That's wicked as hell. Pray for those people. They probably don't even have a parent to stay home with them. Thank God you're able to stay home with your children. Thank God for the Christ in you that has made you think differently about life and about education. That's the only reason why you're doing it. It's not because of you. If you were lost and on your way to hell, you have your children over there too. Pray for them and be serious about it. Verse 6, when their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Everybody say, glory be to God. Verse 9 says, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. Now, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, we should be ready to welcome the rebuke of our Heavenly Father and also the reproof and rebuke of our brethren and our sistren, if you will, our parents, and even our physical brothers and sisters. If you're not willing to accept rebuke and chastisement, you're not going to succeed in life. It shall not break my head if it may but help to break my heart. Only Matthew Henry can put it like that. We must show that we take it kindly. We appreciate it. We don't become vindictive like some little effeminate devil, some Judas. We don't get indignant because somebody corrected our sinful selves. It's so ridiculous. These people act like they have never done wrong. They can't do wrong. How dare you question me? I'm so-and-so. Who cares who you are? You're a wicked sinner like the rest of us, and you've been caught. Just admit it so it can go by fast. People can't do anything to you once you admit it, man. Just admit it. It has a way, once you tell the truth on yourself, it has a strange way of disappearing in the minds of people. It may be there in the corner of their mind, but they think, believe it or not, they think well of you because you told the truth on yourself and you admitted you're wrong, no matter how big you are or how big you think you are. Those who slighted the word of God, he continues, before will be glad of it when in affliction, for that opens the ear to instruction. When the world is bitter, the word is sweet. Amen, somebody. When the world is bitter, and it is bitter, the word is sweet. Let us lift our prayer unto God. Let us entreat him to rescue us from the snares of Satan and of all the workers of iniquity. Let's thank God for his word. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we pray that you'll help us to learn it, to read it, to obey it, to apply it to our own lives, and then to share the gospel with others so that they can be saved as well, and to start the growing process in a very real sense. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray for the estates. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family estate in this country and around the globe. We pray that you would heal every family and heal and bless every family based upon the family verses and everyone in the family obeying your holy word. Otherwise, we will not be truly blessed and in our families. And help families to pray together and to have family devotions together. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, for the church. We pray that you'll help us in your true church to pray about it and to pray for revival, but at the same time, Lord, help us to be about it and to seek your face. To seek your face, to really get to know you all over again, to humble ourselves, to trust in you, and to obey you, and to repent of our evil ways. For Lord, you require that we repent and turn from our evil ways. In fact, our love for you, or back to you, is proven by obeying you. For you have made it very clear, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Lord, the truth of the matter is most of us in your church, we're not doing that. And Lord, we need revival in that area. Help us to remember from whence we have fallen. Help us to repent. And help us to turn from our wicked ways and to repeat the first works and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for the government based upon your holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald J. Trump, as we prayed for all presidents since Ronald Reagan, when I got saved December the 19th, 1979. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings today upon every Christian family, salvation for every lost family, and we pray these blessings upon your church, your true church, and the salvation of lost church members. And we pray these blessings upon our country and upon our government. And we pray these blessings. Plus, we pray for wisdom for the President, Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump. We pray that you'll heal her body. And we pray for the Second Lady, Karen Pence. We pray for all White House staff, including Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations, Joe Hagan. All leaders of federal agencies, including Judicial Panel on Multi-District Litigation, Director Sarah S. Vance, all territorial governors, including Northern Mariana Islands. We pray for the Lake of Fire situation happening and coming to earth in Hawaii. We pray for the people there, that you would comfort them and protect them and deliver them and get them out of there. We also pray at the same time that for those who doubt that there is a lake of fire, that they would look at the videos that are being shown all over the world today, that there is such a thing of liquid fire forms into lakes and rivers and oceans, where people will spend eternity if they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, according to the words of Jesus Christ himself. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for Governor Ralph Torres. We pray for all city mayors, including Daytona Beach, Florida Mayor Derek L. Henry, all members of Congress, including Georgia Senator Johnny Isaacson. We pray for all law enforcement officials, including Daytona Beach, Florida Police Chief Craig Capri, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis, Chief of the National Guard, Bureau General Joseph L. Lingyal, And we pray for the leaders of nations around the world, including Nigeria's president, Muhammadu Buhari. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the modern-day David, Benjamin Netanyahu. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people and the citizens all around the world. We pray that your Holy Gospel, your Holy Spirit, pray in the back, would not give these people rest until they come to know you as Savior. And we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved through this ministry alone. We pray for millions more to be saved through other ministries and through other ministries presenting the gospel. And Lord, we pray for the media, all old media and all new media. Help them to practice traditional journalistic principles and help everybody to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost and the revival of those who are saved. We also pray for the current events happening around the world. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly for the families being impacted down near Houston, Texas, with 8 people dead so far and many injured. We pray that you would comfort them as only you can and help them as only you can get through this, which some, of course, they will find it very difficult to ever get through it. But Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would redirect everybody to you. For nobody can heal like you. Nobody can heal like you, Lord Jesus. And nobody can save like you. And we pray for the protection also of the people in the Congo from a new Ebola outbreak. We pray for the peace and calm between Israel and Gaza, for the comfort of the families and church families of 10 people killed in suicide attacks on three churches in Indonesia. We pray, Holy Father God, for the prayer requests that have come in. We pray for the hundreds of folks who've sent in their prayer requests down through the years. Hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings, Lord, upon them and upon us as well. And we pray that you would provide for them the things they need on an individual basis. We pray for Yusuf, as we pray for a few by name. Please bless his life, his family, his church, and his ministry. We pray for Vicky. Please save and be with Teresa. Heal Marion of lymph nodes and MRSA infection. Be with Lana. We pray for Kaijo. Please help her fight against false doctrine. And we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior as well. We pray for Jay. We pray for Rusha. We pray for Elvis. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. And Lord, we pray for Fuad. We pray for Karen. We pray for Joy. Help them to stay faithful and to not go back into a backslidden situation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled, Love Covers. Love Covers by Dr. Billy Graham. 1 John 3:18 says, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. The Bible declares that we who follow Christ should be just as much in love with each other as God was in love with us, or is in love with us, when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. The moment we come to Christ, Scripture says God gives us supernatural love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that is, of course, so true. The greatest demonstration, Dr. Billy Graham continues, of the fact that we are Christians is that we love one another. Why not go out of our way to be a friend to someone whose skin is a different color from ours? How about it, dear saints? Why can't black people, black Christians, love white people? Why can't white Christians love black people? Love does more to solve our problems than anything else does. Of all the gifts God offers his children, love is the greatest. Of all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love is the first. Remember that as you go today and practice it. Love somebody on purpose. Choose to love people with God's grace and God's help and by the power of his Holy Spirit. Holy Father God, grant us your grace today and the power of your Holy Spirit to love all people and to show that love by what we say and what we do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, the Bible says very clearly in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And hell is a very sad and bad place. And the good news is you don't have to go there. And Jesus Christ coming to earth and dying on the cross for our sins and rising again is the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your life and into your heart to save you today, and he will. For the Bible promises in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, it is written that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing to believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from your old life and pray and ask him to save you? If you are, please follow me in prayer and mean it from your heart. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I know that I am a wicked, evil, and ungodly sinner. I have done evil in your sight. I've done things and I've said things that I should not have done or said. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, where I have broken your clear commandments, such as lying, such as coveting other people's things and other people, such as stealing. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God found in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
The truth. to be wrong. Ready for the peace of love and happiness. It's coming back. Just like you said we would.